Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Hallelujah. So I began teaching you from the book of Daniel, how the angel visited Daniel, and the angel gave Daniel God's prophetic timeline concerning Jerusalem and concerning the Jews. Amen. And as I had explained, the Jews are God's children. In fact, one time God said that they are my wife, the Jews. He called them his wife. God said he married them. Hey! I said, hey! And when God said that he married them, I remember one time God was angry with them. And God told them that they are behaving like prostitutes. What a shock. They were going, worshipping all sorts of gods. Wherever they pass, if they are worshipping a god there, they will also collect and worship that god also. And God said they are behaving like prostitutes because they are his wife and he married them. He said they are cheating on him. My God. So to cut the long story short, God became angry with them. There was a numerous number of sins that they committed against God. And then God took the decision that he's going to punish them. Amen. So God said it will take 490 years for him to be able to deal with his children so that they can become righteous and so that they can become righteous forever. Hallelujah. So last week we began, or the week before, we began to talk about the last 7 years, you know, before Jesus comes. And last week specifically, I began telling you about the Antichrist, the rise and fall of the Antichrist. Who is he? What will he be doing? Do you understand? Certain events that are going to take place because of the Antichrist. You know, I told you that the Antichrist will establish himself as a god on the earth. People will worship him. Are you listening to me? I told you that he will have natural power. He will rule, he will govern with natural power, and also he will have spiritual power. He will be performing miracles, and he will have a prophet, and one of his prophets will have the ability to call fire from heaven. Now, if you see someone call fire from heaven, if you are not into the word of God, and you don't know the prophecies that are in the word of God, you may easily say, no man, these people, no one can call fire from heaven. This one must be from God. But if you have armed yourself with the word of God, and God forbid you should be there in those days, you will be able to say that, no, I remember the word of God says these things are going to happen in these days. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. So today I want to continue for a very short time. I want to talk about what will be happening in heaven while all these things will be happening on the earth? Do you understand? What will be happening in heaven in those days? Now, first and foremost, what will happen is that we will be raptured. So the first event that will take place, the event that will take all of us to heaven, let's say Jesus comes back today, comes back now while I'm preaching. What will happen is there will be a sound of a trumpet. Is there a trumpet in that keyboard? Oh, no. Okay. Oh, yes, there is. Play a trumpet there. Let's hear. Yeah, play it loud. Put the volume. No, just play one chord. Don't play a song. There'll be some kind of sound like this. Play it louder, like, you know, something that the whole world can hear. a Sunday, we will hear a sound like this. And then all of a sudden, it's just that, you know, where's the closest graveyards here? Hidali. People will start rising from the dead in Hidali. I know there's one in Mamelodi. Is it B2 or something? B3. People will start rising from the dead. I know Goma Haing, we have a situation where people are buried in the yards, isn't it? People will start rising from the dead. Life, people will see. And then they will start flying and going up to the clouds. And then those who will be believing in Christ will be changed. The Bible says in a twinkling of an eye, they'll be transformed. And we will all fly towards the clouds. And Jesus will be there and we'll meet him there. Hallelujah. So that's the first event that's going to happen. When we meet him on the clouds, he's going to take all of us into heaven. Hallelujah. Let's just read that scripture one more time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 13. So we call this event the rapture. When you hear people talking about the rapture, they are talking about what Paul details in these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. Oh, I'm waiting for you. Move a bit faster because I want to preach quickly. Amen. Are you there? The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. When he's talking about people who are asleep, he's talking about people who have passed on. Hallelujah. He's talking about, some of us, he's talking about our parents who have passed on. He's talking about our brothers and sisters who have passed on. He's talking about our friends who have passed on, especially those who have passed on in the Lord. Hallelujah. That ye sorrow not. So he said, don't be sad about the people who have passed on. Even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe? Ask your neighbor, do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Oh, this is powerful. The fact that he rose again gives us hope. Hallelujah. That one day we will also rise again. Amen. Just put it on the ground. Move quickly because everyone's focusing on you now. Amen. Put your hands together for our media team. Hallelujah. This is what makes Christianity very special. We have hope that if we die today, we will rise again someday. Hallelujah. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So what the scripture means that the people who have passed on, they will resurrect and go to the clouds before those who will be alive at that time. Are you listening to me? Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. So this scripture just basically explains what I've just said now. that the first event that's going to take place is going to be the rapture. The rapture is when the Lord comes to take his saints to heaven. Amen. And there are many people who died and are currently in heaven. I've explained all of this. They will have to be resurrected. Amen. And these are the people who will be resurrected here, and then the rest of us will join them, and then Jesus will take us to heaven. Now, when we get to heaven, what's going to happen? What are some of the events that are going to take place in heaven concerning those who believe in Jesus Christ? Amen. The first thing that's going to happen, you know, obviously, probably there's going to be, a tour. There's probably going to be a tour of heaven, you know. And they're probably going to show us heaven because, you know, we've never been there before. Hallelujah. But after all those things are done, one of the first major events that's going to take place once we get to heaven is judgment. When you're a born-again believer, you will still have to stand before God and receive judgment from him. Even those who are not born again, one day they will also have to stand before God and be judged by him. So the judgment of the believer is different from the judgment of the person who doesn't believe. The judgment of the person who doesn't believe is going to lead them to what the Bible calls the second death. So the second death is when you go to hell for all eternity. But the judgment of the believer will not take you to hell. Let me show you in the word. Come with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Quickly, Revelation chapter 11, verse 16. Are you there? And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Hallelujah. So what that means is that there will come a time of judgment. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll be reading from verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading from verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading from verse 11. Are you there? The Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 12. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Hallelujah. So the first event that's going to take place once we get to heaven, I'm sure, you know, whenever you go to a new place, like if you build a house, Lucy, you know, and somebody visits you, you'll most likely take them for a tour, right? Because the house is fresh, brand new. So this is the children's room. This is my room. Even though they may not, recently, my friend bought a double-story house, beautiful house. And he was taking me through a tour of the house. It was like, this is the backyard. The kids love this one. I said, hey. I said, this is the kitchen. This is the sitting room. And I saw a TV I've never seen in my life. Very big. And he said, then he took me upstairs. Oh, then he said, downstairs there was a toilet. He said, this is the visitor's toilet. I said, hey. Then he took me up the stairs. And he said, you know, these stairs are, he said, they are, what was it called? They are heat, the floor is heated. So he said, in winter, we don't need heater. We heat the floor. Jesus. And he was taking me. And he said, these are the children's room. And he said, in there, there's also their personal bathroom. So they can bath. And then this is the visitor's room. I said, visitor's room? He said, yeah, visitor's room. I said, wow. Then he asked his wife, can I show him our bedroom? Then his wife said, okay, just show him. Because the house was brand new. You see, it was fresh. Then they took me into their bedroom, showed me a very nice house. So when we get to heaven, I'm sure that's the first thing that's going to happen. The Lord is going to want to show us around. But once that is over and done, the first event is judgment. And this judgment is not judgment to condemn you to hell. This judgment is judgment of the works that you have done on the earth. Someone say works. So everything that you are doing is being recorded. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything you do, everything is being recorded. One day, there was a certain man of God, a prophet. And this prophet was so wild. You know, there's prophets and there are prophets. This guy was so close to God that every Monday for a certain season of his life, every Monday, he would literally be taken to heaven. Did you hear what I said? You people are not surprised. Do you normally go to heaven every Monday? Yeah. So one day, he said he was casting out demons. And as he laid his hand on one of the people he was casting out demons, he suddenly saw a snake in this person. And the snake latched to his hand and bit his hand. And now he's like having a vision while he's casting out the people. And he knew that the first thing that I must do is cut off the head. So he took and he cut off the head of the snake. But the fangs of the snake are still embedded in his finger. And him being prophetic, he knew what that means. So what happened is that this gentleman was married, by the way. So he started falling. He fell in love with another sister in the church. The whole prophet. And so it began as a relationship, you know. Then one day, him and this sister spoke and said, it's time to take our relationship to the next level. Whatever it means to go to the next level. Why do you look like you don't know what I'm talking about? And so, this prophet said something very interesting. He said that every time that I went to meet this lady, there was an angel that would stand in the room and just look at us. Even the day that they had decided that they are going to take it to the next level, there was an angel that was just standing there watching. So I'm telling you this story that everything we do is recorded. Why? Because one day you will stand before your king. One day you will stand before Jesus to account for every single minute that he has given you on the earth. It's not for mahala, you must account. Tiama, are you listening to me? So in the book of 1 Corinthians that we read, Paul tells us that the works that we do, they will be tested by fire. Very interesting. In other words, that like Brother Karabo now is playing keyboard, the media are mediaring, if there's such a word, and the praise and worship are praise and worshiping. And the ushers are ushering. It's working for God. This is working for God. Now, these works that you are doing, as good as they are, one day you will stand before the King of Kings and he will start looking at these works. And the Bible says that as you do the works, they produce set or they look like either gold, precious stones, wood, and hay. Do you know what is hay? You know. All right, I won't explain if you know. You don't know. What is hay, Mamrud? Do you know the things that... the things that animals eat, it's like grass. It's like long grass. That is what is hay. And so some of us, our works will be like hay. And now tell me what happens to gold when it goes through fire. It is refined. It becomes even purer. But what happens to wood when it goes through fire? It burns up, isn't it? What happens to hay? We don't even want to talk about hay. So what does this mean? You know, somebody came to visit me recently and we were talking and sometimes we do the work of God, but sometimes we don't do it with a good intention. And sometimes we don't do it with a good heart. So your intentions and your heart behind the work of God determine what type of material your work becomes. Whether it becomes gold, whether it becomes silver, whether it becomes diamonds, or whether it's wood. Are you listening to me? Brother Karabo might be playing the keyboard. We are saying, wow, this brother loves the Lord. Only to find out that he's eyeing a sister in the church. We are thinking that, hey, this guy loves Jesus. But we will never know because his eye has actually caught somebody and is actually playing to impress somebody. What a shock. When you get there, you cannot deceive Jesus. He will tell you straight that, hey, actually, you are not playing for me. You are playing for a certain sister. Are you listening to me, somebody? Yeah. So some people do the work of God for money. Some people do the work of God because they told them to do it. There's many reasons why people do the work of God. And if your reasons are not pure, if your reasons are not true, it will show on that day when the Lord will judge you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. So make sure, as a child of God, you see, this is grace. Grace for all of us, even me, the one who's preaching. To always check my motives for doing what I do. So also you, forever be checking yourself. Sometimes even, you know, you may find yourself that you are prophetic. And you prophesy not because you care of the people you are prophesying to. But you prophesy to say that, yeah, I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet. You better know. Are you listening to me? As I've been walking with God, if God shows me anything, I've learned to keep my mouth quiet and I've learned to pray in secret. There are many people that I pray for that have no idea that I'm praying for them. No idea whatsoever. Because I don't want to do it so that it can be seen. And Pastor Wawona. Don't come close to him. He's going to see your secrets. I'm not there at all. The intention is comes from a foundation of love. Are you listening to me, somebody? And we must forever be checking ourselves. There are people who start pure, but over time they divert. We must forever be checking. And the only way to check ourselves is through the word of God. There's no other way. That's why James said, some of us, we look at the word of God because the word of God is like a mirror. It shows you. You know, one day I had a very interesting dream. I woke up in this dream and I went to the mirror and I looked at myself in the mirror. Do you understand? To my shock, the person I saw looked very evil. I was looking at myself, but what I was seeing was a very evil person. When I woke up from that dream, I knew that I need to work on myself. The pastor. Hallelujah. Little, come sit here. Quickly. I had to work on myself, the pastor. I remember one day I had another dream. When I looked at my feet, they were so dirty. In the dream, my feet were dirty. And I remember the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. And I said, if I'm preaching the gospel, my feet should be beautiful. Why are they dirty? So I knew that God wanted me to start preaching the gospel in those days. So what I'm trying to say is that you must forever be checking yourself and why you do what you do. Why do you come to church? Why do you give? Why do you attend? Make sure that the works that you do are pure. Some of us, I remember that when I first came to church, I was following my friends. And when they didn't come to church, I also didn't come to church. Until one day I said, no man. From today, I decide to go to church for me. Whether they go or whether they don't go, I am going. And that's when my relationship with God started picking up. Because the motive was changing. It wasn't because my friends were going there. It's because I was now starting to have a relationship with Jesus. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. So these are the things that God will be judging. He'll be judging why you do certain things. Hallelujah. Now, these are the works that he's going to judge. Number one, he's going to judge whether you believed in him. Come to John chapter 6, verse 27. John 6, verse 27. John 6, 27. Are you there? Hello, are you there? The Bible says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? So they're asking him, what are the works of God? Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Hallelujah. So the work of God is to believe in Jesus. Tell anyone, say, it is to believe in Jesus. Yeah. Haven't you noticed that there are people who started believing in Jesus, but somewhere down the line, they stopped believing in Jesus? Have you seen anything like that before? Yeah, it's a work. In other words, if you don't work on it, you may find that 2 years down the line, you stop believing. 3 years down the line, 10 years down the line. My mother used to tell me that back in the day, you know, when somebody falls in love, when they start feeling goose pimples, you know, when I look at you, Many people, when they start going through that phase of life, that is where they stop doing this work of believing in Jesus. Some people, it's when they have children. Hey, pastor, we have to get busy these days. Oh, okay. Askis. There are many reasons. Some people, when they get a job, that's the last time you see them. They've gotten a job. I don't go see them. The job that comes from Jesus has now is the thing that is now fighting your faith. So for me, when I fell for Mom Ruthie, it was very important to me that I keep my relationship with God. When we married, it was very important to me that I kept my relationship with God. When we had our child, it was very important to me that I keep my relationship with God. Through every phase of my life, when I started working, it was very important to me. I was even pastoring while working. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was at school, I made sure that my relationship with God is not affected by school. Amen. Through the phases of life, I do my best to try and maintain my relationship with God. Amen. It's a work. Jesus said it's the work of God to believe in Him. Tell a neighbor, say, my nice neighbor, let's do the work of God. Let's keep believing in Jesus. Yeah. If God will make all your dreams come true, Jesus, will you keep believing in Him? Will you keep walking with Him? Will you keep coming here? You'll become too big for us. Hey, can I crack your little guy? Yes, huh? It's now your church. Where is it? Huh? You are used to church. Now you go to churches, you know. That it's like the praise and worship team are people you see on TV. My car can't go there. Yo, kogai, hey, ma wuto ako. Hey, na me, I'm afraid. Ah. One day, my sister said she went to a church in Sandton, and I'll never forget. She always tells me about the toilets in the church. So no matter what you go through in life, you must keep this particular work of believing in Jesus. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. Don't let blessings take you away from the Lord. Amen. Don't let all circumstances take you away from the Lord. Think about Jesus. Think about every human being we read about in the Bible. They've gone through the worst. They've gone through the most. Some of them lost their children. Their children died. Some of them were sold as slaves. Some of them were killed. But they never, ever, ever stopped believing in Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember one day one man of God was telling a story. In fact, it was Benny Hinn. And he said, you know, one man of God that he knew, I forget the story, but I think one of his children passed away. I can't remember whether the child was bumped by a car or whatever the story was, but the child had passed away. Imagine losing your child. It's the most, you don't even want to imagine it. Do you know what that man of God said? He said, glory be to God. And he kept serving God as a man of God. It's like, glory be to God. And so the circumstances of life will test the works of God in your life. Will you keep believing? Will you keep following? Will you keep pressing on? Will you keep pushing? Some circumstances are good. Some circumstances are bad. There are good things that happen to people that lead them away. And there are sometimes bad things that happen to people that lead them away. May you stand firm in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's quickly go to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, quickly. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. Right. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Hallelujah. In other words, when it comes to this work of God, which is believing in Christ, the thing that God wants to see in you is love. Do you love? Do you love Him? Do you love His people? One day somebody came and said, Lord, what's the most important commandment? He said, the most important commandment is to love who? The Father, to love God. And the second one is to do what? To love your neighbor. So, the first and foremost is that your love for God must never fade or fade away. It's a work that you must do from the day that you are born again. And rather, your love for God must continually increase. And your love for God's people. In fact, your love for God's people sometimes must be so crazy that you look like a crazy person. I remember one day, some people came to Jesus. And he was preaching. And somebody came while he was preaching. And he said, hey, your family is outside. They are looking for you. You know, sometimes spiritual people, sometimes when they talk, it's as though they are heartless. Jesus said, who's my mother? Who's my father? Who are my brothers and sisters? Imagine the mother and brothers were standing there. Not that he said it, you know, in secret. They were standing there. And he said, and he pointed at his disciples. And he said, this is my mother. This is my brother. This is my father. He said, my family are those who do the will of God. Hey! So your love for God and for God's people must always continually increase. So you must check yourself. You've been a Christian for how many years now? Is your love increasing? Is your love for God's people increasing? Is it increasing? Or do you only love yourself? It's all about you. It's all about you, brother. It's all about you, sister. It's only about your family only. It's only about your children. I plan to preach for a short time. Love. Then it talks about joy. Some people are forever sad. No, Pastor, don't mind me. I'm just like this. You are just like what? Nonsense. You must develop the nature of the Holy Ghost. You must have joy. Tell anybody you must have joy. The Bible says rejoice evermore. The Bible says there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy. Someone say joy. You must always be happy. Ah, Pastor, but how can I be happy? Look at, hey, the Bible says, rejoice forevermore. Rejoice. 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 Amen. Tell anyone, say, rejoice. Rejoice. Yeah. I know things happen in life, but choose to have joy. It's a choice that you must make. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, peace. Some people, when they arrive in an environment, there's no peace. The fact that you are there, peace exits. It's like you and peace are not friends, you are enemies. Only one of you can be in a place, not both of you. Some people, there's no peace in their home. Forever fighting. Some people, no peace with your family. Forever fighting. No peace with your friends. Forever fighting. I'm talking about the work of God. Are you listening to me? You must work on yourself. Work on yourself to be like Jesus. It's not always easy. Some people, you go to work somewhere, but you are forever fighting with your colleagues. Why? One day, you know, I was at work, and someone was not at work. And the boss came and said, "Where is so-and-so?" So I said, "No, the person is wherever." And then later on, she was looking for somebody else. Like, "Where is so-and-so?" And I was like, "No, this person, this is happening." And then another time, she came and asked again, "Where is so-and-so?" These are different people. And I came and answered and said, "No, this person, this is what's happening." And one lady at work asked me and said, "How come you know what's going on with everybody?" And I said, "You know, I develop a relationship with everyone that is around me. So I know them because I care. So when I'm there, there's peace." Someone said, "When you are there, there's peace." Long-suffering. Long-suffering is an old word for patience. Some of us, we do not have patience. It's a big problem. If you don't have the latest phone, you feel like dying. If you don't have the latest shoe, you feel like dying. You just don't have patience. Tell you never say patience. Yeah. Even in your life, there must be a process that you go through. You must go to school or, you know, whatever process that you are in before you can start enjoying certain things in life. You must be patient. So many of us, we want to jump steps in life. We want to jump. Want to jump. Don't jump. Be patient. Go through whatever you have to go through. Am I talking to somebody? Then it says gentleness, goodness, faith, and so on and so forth. So these are the works of God that you have to do. Hallelujah. So that's the first works that you'll be judged on. The second one is you'll be judged on preaching the gospel. Come with me to Mark 16, verse 15, quickly. Mark 16, verse 15. Are you there? The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Hallelujah. Paul, God expects you to preach the gospel. But pastor, me, I don't want to be a pastor. It didn't say become a pastor and preach the gospel. It's not like that. It says you must preach the gospel to what? To every creature. In other words, every human being. Are you listening to me? I think many Christians don't realize that they have a responsibility to preach the gospel. They have a responsibility to share the good news. I led most of my family to Christ. Most of them, I led them to Christ. The first person I led to Christ was my sister. When she was in primary school, I used to call her, "Sit down!" Because she's my sister, I can tell her, jump, go. I said, "Sit down!" And she sat down. I said, "Open your Bible." And I started teaching her. Then I asked her, "Do you understand?" She said, "No, I don't understand. Let me explain." And I started teaching her. Then one day I taught her about salvation. And I said, "Do you want to be born again?" And she said, "Yes, I want to be born again." I remember we were in a car and I led her to Christ. My parents were going to buy groceries or something. I was sitting with her in the car and I led her to Christ. One day, I was in the kitchen speaking in tongues. And my younger brother was looking at me. And I was speaking in lepados. And he was looking at me. And he said, "What are you saying?" And I said, "I'm speaking in a divine language. I'm speaking in tongues." And he said, "What's that?" I said, let me show you in the word of God." To cut the long story short, he got born again in the kitchen. So we all have a responsibility to preach the gospel. You don't have to be a pastor. We all have that responsibility. And the Lord will judge you on it. He will judge you. Because of you, people must know Jesus. Because of you, people must get born again. You have that responsibility. Many people, you see how many empty chairs are in this church. Many people are looking at the pastor. You forgot that you also have a responsibility to make sure that the church is full. One woman said to my mother one day, and unfortunately for her, I was also there. She said, "Hey, these pastors want to have big churches." I said, "Sister, the more the church is full, hell is being depopulated. There's less people going to hell. The more the church is empty, there are more people going to hell. So stop this foolish talking. Because the truth is, we must preach the gospel." Am I talking to somebody? So we all have that responsibility. Come quickly to Romans chapter 10. Quickly, quickly. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. If you are there, say amen. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall" what? "Shall be saved." Isn't it powerful? "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I wish it ended there, but unfortunately it goes on. "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So that preacher is you. Your sister can never be born again unless you talk to them. Your uncle can never be born again unless you talk to them. Your child, you must lead your child to Christ. Your own child. Lead them to Christ. Hallelujah. Tell a neighbor, "Neighbor, you have a responsibility." Are you listening to me? And God will judge you. He will judge you. He will judge you. When your friends are all going to hell and you are there. I even one day, I preached to my father. Do you know how scary it is to preach to your father? And I said to him, "You must be born again." And he said to me, "I'm not ready." And I said, "Okay, when I stand before Jesus, I will say, 'Me, I preached. That's my job. I've done my job.'" Hallelujah. The third thing that will be judged on is whether we were involved in the work of perfecting the saints. The work of perfecting the saints. Are you involved in that work? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, quickly. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I feel like I'm running out of time so fast. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Are you there? "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of the church, even Christ." And he continues and continues. So we have a responsibility, you know, because when someone gets born again, spiritually, that person is a child. And if we just lead a person to Christ and forget about that person, how can a child take care of itself? Are you listening to me? So As a child of God, we have a responsibility to ensure the growth of the child, to the point that this child can now stand by himself in the faith. He's no longer a child. He becomes a son of God. And now he also can join in the work of God to help us preach the gospel and the work of perfecting the saints. Are you listening to me? Thank you. So we have this responsibility to be involved in the work of perfecting the saints. You have a responsibility. Venancia, listen to me. You have this responsibility. Many of us, we come to church aimlessly, cluelessly. But today I hope you are becoming aware that you've got responsibilities that one day God will judge you on. But pastor, me, I don't want to be a pastor. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a what? Evangelist. I'm not a... Okay. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 27. Are you there? Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So at least if you don't want to be a pastor, a prophet, at least there's something called helps there. Helps. At least you can help. It can help. When they say helps, I think that should include everyone. No one can be left behind. You can help. When you take a chair after church to take it where it goes, you are helping. Someone say helps. When you give in church, you are helping. You're helping. When you stand and sing, you are helping. Imagine you came to church and I had to sing for you. Utembegile Jesu. At the same time, I'm also playing. Ngama, ngamata. Me. And then afterwards, I say, okay, I'm preaching. Then afterwards, I'm the one taking offering. It can't work like that. So, whenever you get involved in any of this work, you are helping in the work of perfecting the saints. It's very, very important that whoever gets born again through us, through Healing Fire Ministries, that we must ensure that the person grows in Christ. We have to teach the person the word of God. We have to teach the person how to pray. We have to influence the person into good things, into the work of God. Are you listening to me, somebody? This is the judgment that is going to take place in heaven. The Bible says that when the Lord judges you, say all the topics that he judges you on, you come zero, 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 zero. You will have nothing, but the Bible says that your soul will be saved. But in heaven, you'll be empty-handed. You'll be amongst the poor, like I explained last week. But at least you'll be in heaven. Are you listening to me? But I pray that as I'm preaching to somebody, the Holy Ghost will be speaking to you and encourage you to start doing the works of Christ. If you are doing them, you must grow. The Bible says we are moving from glory to glory. We are being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right, the rest I'm just going to read to you because I've run out of time. So the first thing that's going to happen is rapture. After rapture is judgment. After judgment, those who have done works and their works have been tried by the fire, and after the fire, they still have something to show. Those people are going to be given rewards. Are you listening to me? These are some of the rewards that are there. In John 14, Jesus talked about mansions. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But these mentions are not for everybody. It's for those who get rewards. Hallelujah. May you have a mention in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. One day, a certain man of God went to heaven. When he got to heaven, the Lord started taking him through a tour of the mansions that are in heaven. And he said he went to a certain house, and it was beautiful, beautiful. And he said in heaven, there's black gold. Because one of the angels told him, and said, this is black gold. The person's floor was made out of black gold. Have you seen black gold? I also haven't seen it, but in heaven, there's black gold. And the house was being built. It wasn't finished. And the prophet asked, whose house is this? And the angel said, you see, one of the ladies who's helping with the Sunday school at church, this is her house. You see, it's not everyone. It's those who are doing some works and whose works will stand the test of fire. Hallelujah. So, may you receive mentions in heaven in Jesus' name. Then there are different crowns, you know. There's the crown of life. There's the crown of righteousness. There's the crown of glory. Those who, you know, works whose works are tested and stand the test of fire will be given certain crowns. Crowns stand for authority. Crowns stand for glory. Amen. There's also going to be, some people are going to be given cities. Cities. In the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 17, the Bible shows us that some people will be given cities. Are you listening to me, somebody? Some people will be given eternal positions. In the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us about 24 elders who'll be sitting, you know, in the throne room of God. These 24 elders are human beings who once walked on the earth. Their rewards will be to have a throne in the throne room of God. That should be one of the highest levels that a human being can attain. If God is sitting here, this is his throne. You also have your own chair next to God. Ha! It's a higher level. Some people will be given special names. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 17, Jesus says those who overcome, he's going to give them a new name. It's a special honor that is only for those whose works, you know, will stand the test of fire. And then some people, the Bible says, they will inherit all things. In other words, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, God says that those who overcome, they will inherit all things. In other words, whatever belongs to God will also belong to you. Now imagine what belongs to God. Now imagine now when he's sharing that with you and he says it's also yours. But it's not for everyone. Only for those who do the works of Christ, and those works are tested by fire, and they still have works after that. Amen. After we have been given rewards, then we are going to go to what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So there's going to be a mighty feast in heaven in those last 7 years. And the Bible in Revelation 19 calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. So Jesus has a wife. And the Bible says that the wife of Jesus is New Jerusalem. There is a city in heaven called Jerusalem. And the Bible describes that city as the wife of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? And the Bible says that that city will be adorned by the saints. So our presence there will make that city beautiful. And when everything is finished and done on the earth, that city one day is going to come down to the earth and is going to be positioned where Jerusalem is. Hallelujah. And the saints will live in that city forever. Amen. I said amen. So there's going to be a party in heaven. Tell your neighbor, make sure you're in that party. Yeah. It's okay to miss Stivovo's party and the Susan's party and Mangoba's party. But don't miss Jesus' party. That's the most important party you must be in. Hallelujah. Then the last thing that is going to happen is that we are going to, after all these things, we are going to come down to the earth to fight the Antichrist and his armies. In the last battle that will take place on the earth is called the Battle of Armageddon. Hallelujah. So these are the events that are going to take place in heaven during those 7 years. After we are raptured, we are going to be judged. After being judged, God is going to give rewards to those who deserve rewards. And after getting those rewards, we are going to have a party, a heavenly party. And then after all those events have happened, we are going to come back on the earth to fight with Jesus in the battle called the Battle of Armageddon. Hallelujah. And then once we've defeated everyone, then the next phase begins. The next phase is what we call the millennium, the 1,000 years that Jesus is going to be ruling on the earth. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. God bless you.